Good Morning Pensacola. Andrew McKay and the Pensacola Morning News starts right now.
Like sands through the Blackwater, so are the days of our Milton. And now, another episode of City Council Melodrama Theater.
That's my cue, Seth. I thought you had some questions. Did that report answer them?
Yeah, that answered some of them. You know, one of the things that I think we all should look at is a council. This wastewater treatment plant is the biggest thing on the table, if I'm not mistaken, correct? And it's a great revenue source for the city. And, of course, there's a county commissioner that's pushing the other direction. Of course, we all know who that person is.
Okay. I know if you don't know the particular backdrop of why I am laughing my face off when I hear this comment, it's a little bit of a contextual knowledge base. This is Mike Cusack, who is a city councilman in the city of Milton, and they're talking about the, you know, they're reacting to the county denying them their conditional use permit and for the new wastewater treatment plant after, again, the city voted, under the new city council, voted to flush away the ready-to-go, already-funded, completely permitted, like, start-digging-dirt wastewater treatment plant location that was closer to the Blackwater River than their proposed site is. Anyway, and Mike Cusack was leading the charge on that. Now, what I know as backdrop is that Mike Cusack, who comes on here and like just that clip and says, you know, wastewater treatment plant is a great, it's the most important thing. Okay, well, sir, you had a chance to have it and now you don't have it because you booted it. But also, he's talking about it being a great revenue source. When did he have his Damascus Road, his Avalon Boulevard experience? Like, when did he get knocked off of his bicycle and, you know, come to Jesus about wastewater treatment? Because I remember Mike Cusack specifically saying, not long ago in December, that we shouldn't even be pursuing a wastewater treatment plant. We should just let everybody stay on septic. It's fine. Wastewater treatment is a speculative endeavor. We're going to lose our shirts if we get involved in this. I don't know how we're going to fund it.
And if I'm afraid that if we keep going down this road with this wastewater treatment plant, we're going to put city services at risk. And we're on the risk, in my opinion, of maybe putting this city in bankruptcy.
That was his position in December. Is not just let's find another location, but we probably shouldn't do this at all. In December, he said that in a meeting. And then all of a sudden, he's the advocate for wastewater treatment plants. They're great. We all know we got to do this. Okay, but that's just the beginning. It continues. By his own description, Mike Cusack is a great businessman. Okay? So typically, you'd be good at managing people. Okay? Right? Okay, here goes.
I think, no offense to anybody here that works in the city.
Oh, always be worried when that's your start, because you're definitely going to offend some people. Here goes. No offense meant.
No offense to anybody here that works in the city. I think we need to get, we've got a plan, right? Now we've got a plan. We need to get the process to implement a plan. And I think the best thing for us to do as a city and as a council is to, We need to find a person that can coordinate it all together, right? That has the experience of building a wastewater treatment plant in other areas. I think we need to find that person. We need to get that person on board.
Sir, your public works director has built several plants himself. He has told you this in prior meetings. Your grants person, Sandy Woodbury, is genius at getting money, and yet you think, well, the only way to make this work is if we can hire a person to do the job of the people who have already done this job before, getting the first wastewater treatment plant ready to go, permitted, funded, everything else. No offense to anybody, but we don't have that person right now. No, sir, you do have these people right now, and you saying no offense and then laying out how you don't have them is super offensive to them.
For us to get the county to get on board with us, we have to have something in it for them.
Right? I agree with that. Since the county is wanting to take over wastewater treatment themselves because they think Milton can't or won't do it, in order to do it themselves and get the county on board, they've got to offer the county something. I actually agree with him about that.
I think we need to really look at the reuse of the wastewater processor that where developers can tap into that reuse.
Yeah, okay, of course, yes, definitely true. Reuse is the treated effluent. You know, it can be used for all kinds of things, just not drinking water.
You know what I'm saying? We can reuse that water, give the county a portion of that revenue to get them on board to help us, right, to get this thing off the ground. It's been dragging on for years, and it seems like we're not doing it right the first time. You know, there's always, you know, my philosophy is I run a business, right? There's always, you know, do it right the first time because there's always time and money to do it over again.
You literally had it right the first time, and you voted to not do that thing the first time. We'll come back to this in a second. John Pickens has traffic on the fives. John?
This is great. Okay.
Oh, this, so, we're just starting.
Oh, I know. That's the thing about it.
Always.
All right. No,
this, by the way, this meeting was super boring. I was watching this meeting, I'm like, oh, there's nothing here, nothing here. And then all of a sudden, Mike Cusack starts talking. I'm like, oh, here we go. Go on, John.
No accidents to report to you right now. Looks like I-10, I-110 are flowing smoothly. Just seeing a minor slowdown just east of the Navarre Beach Bridge on 98 going eastbound. But other than that, everything else is flowing smoothly. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the five.
So according to Mike Cusack, this process has dragged on for years. Why? I mean, you had a solution and you punted it, okay? That was why the election happened in part. Anyway, okay, so back to, no offense to anybody on staff. He keeps, you know, the more times you, if you say no offense one time, you say it six times, methinks he doth protest offending too much.
If we do it right on the front end and get somebody on board that can actually have the experience, no offense to anybody here at the city. I'm not trying to be derogatory to anybody here at the city, but
that's three.
I don't think we have anybody in place that actually has built a wastewater treatment plant, has engineered, you know, has overseen it, the whole thing.
Literally, Joe Cook has built them. And that's what I'm thinking. I'm like screaming when I'm listening to this. Joe Cook is your director of public works. He has built wastewater treatment plants.
Somebody here to look down and bring this together, bring that together. Hey, we need to get some more grant money here. You know, no offense against our grant person or anything else, but we have, if we find somebody that can help coordinate this and make it go, and get, we have to get the county on board with us here.
You mean like you want somebody to coordinate all the grants, like, you know, Sandy Woodbury did the first time and worked her heart out until the city council voted her whole life's work at the city of Milton down the drain because they didn't like the location, because the Pitchfork posse persuaded them it was, you know, dangerous, even though the engineers said that it was perfectly fine. Okay, fine. But again, back to Mike Cusack, who keeps offending the staff, meanwhile saying he's not trying to offend the staff.
Oh, that's just my opinion. I think as a council, we need to look at that option so we can get this thing off and run it and finally get it going. I mean, the city's been dragging its feet, you know, back and forth for what? 15, what's it been? How long has it been? 15 years? 18 years? Something like that?
My brain is going to explode. Sir, you voted down a shovel-ready project that was fully funded to solve this problem. You can't say it's been dragging on for 15 years when you voted to kill the project that was the result of 15 years worth of work. John, tell me to calm down. I just can't. All right, Heather Lindsay's going to jump in here because she knows Joe Cook did this. She knows Sandy Woodbury did this. And she's the voice of reason here trying to, I've got this guy who's off the rails and he's insulting my staff. And we got to at least let them know somebody up here knows the truth.
Councilman Cusack, I think I hear you saying, you know, you wanted to bring back for discussion the prior idea of like a project manager to assist, because obviously, even though Mr. Cook has experience with overseeing a wastewater treatment plant being built
multiple times,
I believe that need was identified in years past, and the county administrator, the former one, had also suggested to Randy, I believe, that this be looked at closely, that to have a project manager or project engineer. Because obviously Mr. Cook is...
Well, he's got other duties, too.
That's what I was trying to say. I think that's where you're coming from, too, and I just wanted to make sure we were on the same page there.
Yes, once they got it to the point where they were going to start doing the project, they talked about having a project manager because it's too much to oversee that project and also be the city manager at Randy Jorgensen at the time. But, you know, oh, well, you know, he can't handle the extra work. They handled all the extra work before. They already put it in your lap, which you then voted it down. And like I said, I'm sitting at home listening to this, and I'm just screaming at the screen. what are you doing? And hoping that somebody's going to jump in. And you know, Mayor Lindsay has sort of jumped in, but Ed Spears, city manager, is going to be the hero here in a second.
Saying that you would like council to discuss whether this should be an action item for a future meeting to actually authorize the commitment of funds to hire someone who could be that point person. Is that what you're asking?
Exactly.
Okay. So could you add that to the work session for April, Mr. Spears?
I certainly can. And just a few brief comments. You know, Mr. Cook has built three wastewater treatment plants here in our community. We were fully permitted. We had raised 100% of the funds necessary to build a plant, and we chose to go in a different direction. So doing it right the first time is no longer an option. We are in version 2 and 3.
He says it so mild. You know, Councilman Cusack, you want to do it right the first time. That's really not on the table anymore. We had it right the first time, and you went a different direction. Now, Ed's in a weird position, okay? Because he's now the city manager for an adverse board, okay? Or at least a board that voted against the thing. You know, if you want to think of sides, there are six city council members who maybe want to go in a different direction with him. Because you kind of had Randy Jorgensen and Jeff Snow and Ed Spears and Alex Andrade. If you want to call sides, okay, that was the old kind of alignment. And you know, the rest of the members, you know, Shari Sebastio and a couple of the old names I'm forgetting at the moment, but Casey was on there anyway, and he's still on the board. Okay, but then they switched. And so now the politics is a little bit dicey for Ed because he wants to stay the city manager. He knows the people who work for him are good. The council is what it is. And, you know, he doesn't want to poke the bear too much. But, I mean, when Mike is saying things that are just flat out wrong and insult, he's got to go to the staff meeting and have these people that are his senior leaders be livid over getting insulted in public, no matter how many times you say no offense. So I'm sure he's kind of thinking somebody's got to come up here and defend them, and I'm gonna. And also, he goes on to say,
I extended an offer to all five county commissioners to join us. They approved issuing over $30 million in bonds yesterday morning for a 500,000 gallon per day package plant. And I extended an offer of 1 million gallons per day for that $30 million to join us in building our plant. And it was a unanimous no.
So he's trying already to offer them something. He's literally doing what Mike Cusack is saying should be done, which is to try to find a way to basically bribe the county to participating, and they have no interest in it whatsoever.
There is a major profit in wastewater, water and wastewater. It pays the bills for this city as well. And that's why we're doing this project. Yes, health, safety, and welfare of our citizens always comes first. But the second reason is it is an enterprise operation to raise funds for this government to do the fun things that we've been talking about tonight.
So they go on to talk about, you know, where the county is, where the city is, and you're going to love this next part. This is my favorite part of the meeting.
But as far as partnering with the county, there was an interview this morning with the county administrator on a local radio station. I shared that with members of council. You can listen to it. It's on their website. It was the first time it has been publicly stated what their true intent is, and that is to build a multi-million gallon per day treatment plant in East Milton to service that entire area from the Blackwater River to the Yellow River south of Highway 9. And
thank you for sharing that today, too. I appreciate that. And
yeah, there was an interview with Brad Baker, the county administrator, on some local radio show where they were talking about all of these issues, and somebody locally, you know, brought to light the clear path of the county that they wanted to control wastewater because they didn't think the city of Milton was going to do it. What was that radio show, unnamed?
You all know exactly who I am. Say my name.
Say my name. Now, look, in Ed's defense, he knows he can't say my name to the city council without them getting angry at him. But obviously, he shared the interview that I did with Brad Baker last week with them, or maybe it was 2 weeks now, with them in talking about all of this. And it was super useful to them, as even Heather Lindsay said, that was super useful for me to know. I appreciate you sharing that with us, right? And so, local unnamed radio person aside, They now know what the county is going to do, which is the county wants to control wastewater, in part, I think, because it's a revenue source, in part, I think, because they don't trust Milton to do it right, because Milton has proven that they can't do it right and won't do it right and keeps not understanding that problem. 625, there's more. Trust me, there's more coming. We'll get to it next hour. Two episodes today, two episodes of Days of Our Milton. Regardless of Anthony Sabatini ever becoming the city attorney or not, there will always be material. John Pickens has, I think I got a couple of texts here. Somebody says, I was for it before I was against it, Mike, you said. good morning, Andrew. Again, you've got my blood pressure rising listening to these idiots in Milton. Thank you, sir. Have a great day. No offense, but you're fired. I hired you to a certain job, and all of a sudden I realize that there's nobody that can do that job that you've been doing, and I can't find anybody else to do that job that I originally hired you to do, so no offense. y'all are salty today. Phew. It's probably my fault. John Pickens has traffic on the fives.
No accidents to report to you right now. Looks like I-10, I-110, even 98 are actually flowing smoothly this morning. Not seeing any delays right now. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the fives.
Things keep getting bigger and better at Daryl Sewing of Pensacola. Daryl Sewing is the largest sewing machine dealer in the Pensacola area, offering a variety of sewing machines, sergers, and embroidery systems, plus a large selection of sewing machine furniture, craft supplies, and fabrics. Financing is available too. Call him today, 850-438-5444. Daryl Sewing, located at 6705 North Davis Highway, between Creighton and Burgess. Online at sewinginpensacola.com.
The Studer Community Institute, with many others, is dedicated to creating America's first early learning city right here in Pensacola. To do that, Rishi and I built the United States' first early learning sensory garden right at the corner of Bailing Street and Main Street. Yep, right by the brew-through. Bring your child. Not only will they have fun, but they'll also learn a lot. And while you're there, you can have a coffee or a smoothie or a bite to eat. So please, bring your child down to the brew-through to the early learning sensory garden. Thank you.
The Pensacola housing real estate market has been crazy for the past few years.
How do you know when to buy or sell?
You'll need an expert to help you. Tune in to the Pensacola Expert Panel this Thursday at 9 a.m. right after Pensacola Morning News to hear real estate expert Christina Leavenworth with Levin Ricky Realty discuss current real estate conditions. That's Thursday at 9 a.m. on the Pensacola Expert Panel.
The Pensacola Expert Panel, 9 to 11 weekdays on News Radio 92.3 AM 1620.
Bands on the Beach is back. Bring a lawn chair or a towel and enjoy live music at the stage on Pensacola Beach. There's plenty of room to spread out and enjoy the sand, the sunset, and great live music every Tuesday night at 7. This week, the White Sands Panhandle Band takes the stage. It's one of the hottest bands in bluegrass country and rockabilly on the Gulf Coast. You'll hear everything from Marty Stewart to Marty Rabin to Charlie Daniels at Bands on the Beach, brought to you by the Santa Rosa Island Authority. Don't bring any pets or glass.
Do you want to stay up to date on the latest news, weather, and traffic updates, but don't always have time to listen to the radio? Well, now you can get text alerts from the News Radio Pensacola app.
Yeah, I'm here.
You have spilled my macchiato.
Good morning, 628 News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. I'm Andrew McKay. It's Pensacola Morning News. David Wayne is in the newsroom with our headlines. David?
Well, good morning. An investigation underway after an engine problem led to a fire on a Delta jet. That happened in a flight from Orlando to Atlanta. Had to be halted on the tarmac when flames shot out of an engine right before takeoff. That was at the Orlando airport.
Have you seen the video?
Yes.
Oh, my God. And, you know, and you're like, if you're riding in this plane.
Not what you want to see from the window.
No. Yeah. But then again, you're thinking, at least we're still on the ground.
Right.
Upside.
It's crazy. All the crew and passengers were able to exit that plane safely, though. I guess that's the only thing really
that's
important.
Good news.
Swiss drug maker, hopefully I say this right, Roche will invest $50 billion in the U.S. over the next 5 years. As it weighs the effects of President Trump's tariffs on imported pharmaceuticals, the company announcing that that money will create 12,000 jobs and be used to create research and development sites while expanding their manufacturing in Indiana, Pennsylvania, Massachusetts, and in California. And Duolingo is bringing the game of chess to its learning app, the world's most popular learning app, apparently. They offer puzzles, mini matches, and other learning strategies. Now they are adding chess into the mix.
Okay. All right. David, thanks so much for the update. 629. I saw this story, just kind of made me chuckle a little bit. The Oscars are putting big changes in. And one of the big changes they're putting in for how films get selected to win categories is they're now requiring when members vote in a category, they have to have actually seen all of the movies. Are you kidding? People didn't see all the movies and they're voting in categories? Well, I watched four of them and this was the best of the four. What? And they actually have like this software that's designed to let you watch them so it can track who's watched them. And if you watch it outside of the software, you can certify the case. It's amazing to me that people would judge a thing and they haven't actually seen all the contestants.
Gianangelosi. The funeral for Pope Francis has been set for Saturday at 10 a.m. local time in St. Peter's Square as cardinals meet to plan the conclave to elect his successor.
It will be an enormous event witnessed by world leaders, including President Donald Trump. Last night, the Vatican revealed Pope Francis died from a stroke and subsequent heart failure. His will confirmed his wish to be buried in Rome rather than the Vatican, and that a mystery benefactor will pay for the funeral.
And that's Fox's Jonathan Savage. Public viewing for the Pope will begin tomorrow morning. President Trump defending Defense Secretary Pete Hegseth after news of a possible second signal chat involving Yemen plans.
And White House Press Secretary Karoline Leavitt also dismissed an NPR report that the administration is seeking to replace the Defense Secretary. She called it fake news.
Fox's Brooke Singman. America's listening to Fox News.
Good morning, 6:31 at News Radio 92.3. It's 70 degrees right now. We've got mostly cloudy skies in Pensacola. Well, it was 15 years ago yesterday, the Deepwater Horizon oil rig exploded 40 miles off of the Louisiana coast, spilling nearly 5 million barrels of oil every day before it was finally capped after 87 days. That crisis impacting five states. Oil first seen on Pensacola Beach in June 2010. It washed ashore for years.
Remember the tar balls washing up on the beach for months and even years afterwards.
And that spill remains the largest in U.S. history. New information on that weekend shooting at a local event center. 24-year-old Jalen Woods was arrested on Sunday on charges of murder, firing a weapon in public, and being a felon in possession of a weapon. Woods is accused of shooting a man outside of the 850 Event Center. That's on Delano and Pace on the corner. Deputies say a 34-year-old was found dead with a gunshot wound to the head outside of that venue on Saturday morning. Parishioners gathered at St. Michael's Basilica in downtown Pensacola yesterday. This is after the death of Pope Francis was announced early yesterday morning. Bishop William Wack tells Channel 3 that Francis was known as the Pope of Mercy.
It's really neat that his death, his life, and now his death touches so many people, not just Catholics, but people all over the world. I know the president has already offered condolences, and so many state leaders of state and other religions.
Wack says that the Pope influenced the church to be more humble and work for peace and reminded them to pay attention to the poor and the marginalized. The church now in a mourning period. Pope Francis will be laid to rest on Saturday. Ascend Performance Materials has filed for Chapter 11 bankruptcy protection in the U.S. Bankruptcy Court for the Southern District of Texas. That process allows the company to reorganize their finances without creditor lawsuits. The Pensacola plant and the rest of the company continuing their operations as normal. Well, the state can now move forward with plans to execute a man accused of killing four people in Okaloosa County. The Florida Supreme Court rejecting an appeal yesterday from lawyers for Jeffrey Hutchinson. He was convicted of killing his girlfriend and her three children in Crestview in 1988. His lawyers argued he shouldn't be put to death because he suffers from brain injuries and cognitive issues from his time in the Gulf War. The 62-year-old is set to be executed on May 1st. An attempt to change Florida's gun laws, probably not moving forward now in Tallahassee. State Senate Rules Chairwoman Kathleen Passidomo said yesterday that her committee will not be discussing the bill that would lower the age at which rifles can be purchased in the state. The current law says you have to be 21 or older to buy rifles or long guns. HB 759 would have lowered that to 18. And Governor DeSantis and others showing their respect to the Pope, who passed away yesterday. DeSantis writing on X that his thoughts and prayers go out to Catholics across the state and around the world. Also, Senator Rick Scott sharing his condolences on X. He wrote that he and his wife join in prayer with Catholics across the state. America, and around the world. It's 6:35 at News Radio 92.3. John's got our traffic on the fives.
That's right. Brought to you by Executive Landscaping. Call them today for all your commercial and premium landscaping needs. Still no accidents to report to you right now. Looks like I-10, I-110 are flowing smoothly. Starting to see some delays and backups if you're traveling 98 eastbound just east of the Navarre Beach Bridge going almost to Windhaven Beach. So just be prepared for that. Other than that, we're looking good. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the fives.
Thank you very much, John. Now our Channel 3 weather forecast.
This is meteorologist Brooke Richardson with your first morning weather update. We do have a chance of some rain as you go into your afternoon. 40% chance overall. High near 79 degrees. Overnight tonight, temperatures dropping near 69. For Wednesday, 20% chance of a stray shower in the afternoon. High near 80 degrees. Wednesday night, temperatures dropping near 68. Going into your Thursday, partly cloudy skies. High near 79. And by Thursday night, temperatures dropping near 69 degrees. Stay connected. Channel 3 News First Morning Weather Team. Download the WEAR-TV Weather app. This is Brooke Richardson from the First Morning Weather Center.
Thank you very much, Brooke. And we've got 70 degrees in Pensacola. It's 70 in Gulf Breeze. We've got 66 right now in Milton. Our next news is at 7 o'clock. We've got breaking news anytime it happens. I'm David Wayne for News Radio 92.3, informative, local, and dependable. And let's get a look at our market report this morning. From Your Money Now.
I'm Nicole Murray with Your Money Now. Officials said after nearly 2.5 years of regulatory scrutiny and upgrades, the Morton Salt Mine in New Iberia, Louisiana, has been removed from a safety watch after improving its compliance with federal rules. They added Morton Salt implemented measures that led to better workplace conditions. Industry experts say stores selling secondhand clothes, shoes, and accessories like thrift stores and boutiques are poised to benefit from President Trump's trade war as customers search for cheaper options. The Yale University Budget Lab estimated short-term consumer price increases of 65% for clothes and 87% for leather goods. India's Prime Minister Narendra Modi and Vice President J.D. Vance have hailed the significant progress made in trade talks between the two sides during Vance's visit to India. Futures are moderately higher. Monday, the Dow Industrials lost 971, the NASDAQ down 415, the S&P 500 down 124. That's Your Money Now.
$5,000. That's the average amount of money people in the U.S. are now spending on gas in a year. $5,000. That's crazy. If you drive, you have to download Upside, the free app that gives you cash back every time you get gas. That's right. You can earn real cash back with Upside just by buying the gas you're already buying. You can literally start earning cash back today.
I use Upside every time I fill up, and I've already made around $200, $300.
You're putting gas in your car anyway. Why not get real cash back? If you like free money, download Upside.
I'm saving the cash I earn from using Upside to help pay for a vacation later this year.
Download the free Upside app now to earn cash back every time you buy gas. Use promo code EARN to get an extra 25 cents per gallon on your first tank. You can cash out anytime, right to your bank, PayPal, or a gift card for Amazon and other brands. Just download the free Upside app and use promo code EARN for a 25 cents per gallon bonus on your first tank. That's code EARN for a 25 cents per gallon bonus.
Hey, hey, Pensacola pet parents. Got questions about your fur babies? Well, I'm Dr. Mark Sprayberry, owner of Olive Branch Pet Hospital. I would like to invite you and your friends to tune in to the all-new Pet Talk, where I'll be answering all your questions live on air. Tune in Thursday at 9:30. See you groovy people then.
The Pensacola Expert Panel on News Radio 92.3 and AM 1620. Text or call with your questions. 850-437-1620.
Is your business, church organization, civic group, school, or other nonprofit organization having a fundraiser or other community event? Let News Radio 92.3 AM 1620 help you spread the word. Send us your information to be presented on our Here's What's Happening weekly announcements. We look forward to hearing from you. Submit your events at newsradio923.com.
This message is sponsored by the Florida A&M University Medical Marijuana Education and Research Initiative, the Florida Association of Broadcasters, and this radio station.
Mary on Demand is live. Start your marijuana education journey today. Learn at your own pace and check out the Medical Marijuana Education Series. You decide what you'd like to learn and when with Mary on Demand. Visit mary.famu.edu. That's mmeri.famu.edu. And remember, recreational marijuana is still illegal in Florida. Mary, educate, learn, talk.
News Radio Pensacola has you covered no matter where you are or how you like to listen. Tune into our frequencies on 92.3 FM, 95.3 FM, and AM 1620 for the latest breaking news, local updates, and in-depth analysis. Can't be near a radio? No problem. Stream us live on our website or through our convenient app. Available for download on your mobile device. Plus, with our smart device integration, you can ask your virtual assistant to play News Radio 92.3, and we'll be right there with you. It's News Radio Pensacola.
Good morning, 640 here on News Radio 92.3. I'm Andrew McKay. It's Pensacola Morning News. Happy Tuesday to you. Brad Baker is the Santa Rosa County Administrator, and he joins us typically on the Tuesday following the commission meeting, which is kind of like their agenda workshop meeting that they have on Mondays in Santa Rosa County. Brad, welcome back to the show, sir.
Thank you for having me again.
Absolutely. Good to have you, sir. Let's start with the Ibis Road issue, because that was certainly the hottest, most contentious topic in yesterday's meeting. Ibis, if people don't know, is like right by the hangar, right across from the courthouse, the new courthouse, right across the road there where you have that kind of frontage road on Avalon. And then to the north, you have some industrial parkish area like Trump Boulevard and stuff. These people on Ibis, which is it's an east-west road that dead ends in a forest, or at least it used to. Westmont also does to the north, and then Gulf does to the south. And people are developing back there in what used to be the forest, and they're wanting to connect their road to Ibis, and the people are furious. They're livid because they thought they had promises, they had a vote from the board, and they thought that was never going to happen, and here it is on the verge of happening. Tell me the history, tell people why this is happening, and maybe explain a little bit about what's going on, because this was obviously, people are very upset about this who live in that area.
It goes back to many boards ago. I mean, there are multiple meetings over Ibis. There was one. The initial plan was back when Commissioner Cole was there to connect Westmont, come out at the courthouse and petition the state to allow us to connect and do a lighted intersection there. Of course, the previous board before that had agreed that in the condition of approval of zoning for this subdivision, the Heaton Brothers, is that there would be no connection on Ibis. So it's documented as a condition. Well, then another set of meetings, Ibis Road come out, and the board had discussed not connecting to Ibis, and there was a donation agreement with Heaton Brothers, and they would give us some land for a park and part of the agreement, even though the donation agreement, was that there would be a road built. And this was just when I came in to assist the administrator. So there was a road. The county was going to build a road in, and the board approved that. Well, then, we had a little change in the board, change in administration, as you all know, and a change in the county attorney. The county attorney came in, and this agreement hadn't been signed. He talked with the chairman at the time. We had another meeting on it. They rejected the donation agreement, which then rejected the donation of the parcel, but put back on the table the connection to Ibis Road.
Okay.
So once the board voted to reject the donation agreement, not accept the land, not pave the road, that opened the ability for them to connect to Ibis. Obviously, the people are very passionate about that. They, you heard a couple of clips they played. Previous boards had said there'd be no connection. So they amended their construction plans and showed the connected Ibis. We gave them a DO as far as the county approving it, because the board had voted. And, as some people don't understand, the county administration, we work for the will of the board, not individual board members. So
right. If
the board votes on something, that's what we implement. So, and there was some frustration with the crowd,
And one thing, so that's how we Brad, not to interrupt you, but one thing people often don't get is that one board cannot constrain the future board. And so board A can vote one way, board B can give different direction later on, and which that's one of the frustrations they have is feeling like they got a promise and feeling like that promise was changed, but then the deal changed, right? So the current plan is to connect to IBIS and also to connect to the north, but the builder has what started with IBIS, which is why these people are all freaked out, right?
That is correct. And, you know, based on conversations with the attorney and the board yesterday, we have blocked it off on the county portion of that and told that developer that the portion of the development order did not include that portion of the county connection. We own a small piece that was donated for drainage, I want to say back in the early 90s. When that area was developed originally. So the county does own a connection portion of that. If you look at it, it appears to make sense that a future connection was going to be there, but they donated it to the county. So we have told that developer that part of the deal is not. We put concrete barricades out there. I'm sure we'll have more robust discussion on Thursday about the plan for that.
Okay, so it's not 100% settled either way at this point. Is that I just want to make sure we give people the accurate information. Is that right? Okay. But
that is correct. And we did from administratively, because we had approved the construction plan. We notified them that the development order did not include that portion of the county. Obviously, you can do whatever you want. You can put your connector on your property, but not on our property.
Right.
What we told.
And that's what the people were complaining about yesterday is, you know, the builder built on county property and that what he's not allowed to do. And you can tell him to tear it up and put back a park or sod or whatever, you know, and reestablish the barrier. And that's where I thought we landed is we're just not sure what's going to happen here yet. And that's why I wanted to clarify with you. But my general takeaway is that actually, hang on for just a sec. We're talking to Brad Baker, Santa Rosa County Administrator. John Pickens has traffic for us. John?
That's right. No accidents to report. I-10, I-110 are looking good. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the 5.
Thanks so much, John. Back to Brad Baker. Brad, my advice to people is this kind of thing happens all the time. It's infuriating. But the short answer is if there's undeveloped property by where you have bought, you never know for sure. You just can't know for sure what's going to happen there unless it's basically like the feds own it or there's a river. You know, you never know what might happen. Things can change and you know, this doesn't justify breaking a word, doesn't justify anything else. But the reality is that this happens to people all the time when they don't want it to happen, right?
Yeah, that is correct. And we deal with connectivity issues, I won't say daily, but on a regular basis, you know. Right. Obviously, the more populated our county gets, interconnectivity is a key element for traffic to move around. So we're always looking for the ability to connect. I mean, I think of the connection there by Home Depot over to the Target and Publix and all that. I mean, that has saved thousands and thousands of trips from never hitting Highway 90.
Right.
And if we had not forced that to happen, we would not have that movement. I mean, you talk about interconnectivity, that road that the access road that DOT built years ago along Avalon Boulevard was a very poor concept of a access road. It doesn't connect to any lighted intersection.
Right.
You know, we're petitioning DOT to make that better because there's so much development coming. D.R. Horton already has a development behind there that butts up to the to the landfill that connects out there. There's two more phases of that, this Heaton Brothers one. So, you know, connecting to a lighted intersection for people getting on Avalon Boulevard is another issue that's going on in that area.
Right. It's, I mean, that frontage road kind of turns all of that stuff to the east of Avalon into a land island with the kind of the one way in, and one, which is a terrible plan. As you said, that's a terrible design for it. Switching gears for just a second, I know there was some confusion that had come up yesterday about septic to sewer and whether it's mandatory. Let me tell you what I think the law in the state says and what you guys are doing, and you correct me if I've got it wrong. If you're on a septic system and there's no sewer available, obviously you're fine. Whether it works or not, okay, you're fine. If you're on a septic system and it works and there's sewer available, once sewer becomes available, you have up to a year to connect, but you must connect. if your septic system now has a sewer available and it fails and does not work properly, you pretty much immediately have to connect. Do I have that right?
That is correct.
Okay. And the reason you guys have made this new local county ordinance is because that's the state law anyway. It's already in effect, and doing this aligns you to get better grant money to do more of these conversions and to fix this stuff. Is that right?
That is correct. And the state agency has indicated to us that, hey, you would rank higher and stand a chance of getting more funding. And the neat thing about funding is it pays for that connection. It abates your septic tank. Mm-hmm. And our area of focus is around the bodies of water that are all over our county, you know, Blackwater Bay, the Sound, all that in the peninsula, Garson Point, Escambia Bay. You know, we would prefer to not have septics leaking into our waterways. You know, water quality is a good thing.
And the idea there, just for people who might not be familiar, the idea is that especially by bodies of water, septics are a risk that sewers are not as much of a risk. I mean, anything can fail. But if we can get people off septic onto sewer, we're going to protect our water better. Things that are more interior in the land are not as much a priority, other than if you don't have sewer system in an area, then you have a hard time developing businesses in that area and so forth, right?
Yeah, that's correct. And you know, when you some of these businesses, they definitely have to have sewer. There's not a septic that's going to work for them.
Yeah.
And, you know, we're just – our county was – past sins, I will say, you know, we have not developed in the way that promotes the smart growth that everybody wants. So now we're trying to fix that and do things the right way. So, you know, we're fortunate. We got a, you know, on the agenda yesterday was for just over $21 million in a grant that we got. And it was from really that Deepwater Horizon money. And this will allow us to improve the water quality, abating almost 900 septic tanks, doing some other stuff along with that, but extending lines and bringing sewer through the Pace area, through the Gulf Breeze Regional Water System, the Holly DeVore Water, and then the town of Jay even has a small project.
That's great news. $21 million for septic abatement. That's fantastic. Last thing real quick, just before we run out of time, I want to make sure we get it out there. You guys extended for a year the recycling deal, right? On Thursday you will. But anyway, that's the plan.
Yeah, we will. Yeah, that's the plan, and that's with ECUA. And we've been going back and forth. You know, there's a new facility in Fort Walt, and there's a new one coming on in I believe it's online now at Baldwin. So we're seeing if there is an actual return because, you know, I just shoot it straight because that's kind of how I am. But recycling is not a money-making deal. I mean, it costs us you know, hundreds of thousands of dollars a year to recycle. So we're trying to make it where it's at least a break even.
Right.
You know, obviously we care about the environment, but, you know, less than, I believe the last number was 2% of our landfill is actually quality recyclable material. So I know everybody gets passionate when we talk about it. So we're extending this with ECUA to see if we can find a better way, because when we're going to partner with somebody, we want the recycles to actually go to something recycling, not just transfer to another landfill.
Right. A problem that the city of Pensacola has dealt with off and on for years. Of course, it's a major issue. And, you know, just to kind of, for people who may not be aware, there's a new, I don't know if it's online yet or not. What is it in? Where's the one to the east? Is it Panama City? Where's the one that they just built to the east?
It's in Fort Walton.
It's in Fort Walton. Okay. All right. So there is another recycling facility to the east, which, of course, Santa Rosa is, you know, close enough to that compared to the Buell landfill, where you could kind of start to consider that alternative as well. Brad Baker, he is the Santa Rosa County Administrator. Brad, as always, thank you for the time. Thanks for the information. I appreciate the difficulty of running a county well, and you do it so well. And we'll talk to you again in a couple weeks.
All right, Andrew. Take care.
You bet. 6:53 on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. Since we're talking about kind of this issue of things that get developed behind properties you might not realize, that's the kind of question that you should ask a good realtor. You know, if you're thinking about buying a house or even building a house, I know Christina, actually, they'll work with you on new construction too, and you say, how is that? No, there's a lot of ways that having a realtor helps you with new construction too. It's kind of funny. She was talking about this on Pep Talk, how, you know, she's the blue tape queen. like when you go into a new home and they're supposed to make everything perfect. And if they don't make it perfect, you can demand it. But people sometimes are like feel reluctant about complaining about small things. And she's like, oh, no, you paid for a perfect house. You get a perfect house. But that's beside the point. If you're buying somewhere where there might be land nearby that could be developed, well, that's the kind of thing a good realtor can help you think about. And really look at the land and what's the prospect and will this always be a dead-end street or will it maybe not be a dead-end street in the future? And, you know, really thinking through those questions, which, look, you only buy a house a couple of times in your life maybe, most people. And so you forget all the different things you're supposed to consider. That's why having a good realtor helps. And Christina is a very good realtor. 723-9158 for Christina Leavenworth and her team at Levin Rinke Realty. Traffic on the fives, John Pickens.
That's right. Still rolling accident-free right now. Looks like I-10, I-110 are actually flowing smoothly. Seeing some minor delays if you're going through the Windhaven Beach area on 98 eastbound, right in front of the Walmart Supercenter there. But other than that, traffic is looking good. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the fives.
Hello, this is Mary with Howard Young Flooring. Shopping for flooring can be a little overwhelming. At Howard Young Flooring, we are here to help you any way we can and answer any questions you may have so that you can make knowledgeable decisions. We understand the importance of each and every customer and would like to thank you for allowing us into your homes. For those we have not met, we hope to see you soon. Visit us today at 4333 Avalon Boulevard in Milton. We look forward to covering your future.
Hobbies can be fun and expensive. How about a hobby that's fun and could make you money? Find out how this Thursday morning at 10 with Emerald Coast Coins. Hear about precious metals and metal detectors as a great hobby. For nearly 20 years, Emerald Coast Coins has been one of the top-rated businesses in Northwest Florida to buy and sell gold, silver, and the best metal detectors to find treasure. Get more information about this Thursday morning on the Pensacola Expert Panel.
The Pensacola Expert Panel, 9 to 11 weekdays on News Radio 92.3 AM 1620.
News Radio 92.3 AM 1620 is accepting applications for employment. Periodically, we have openings in sales, business, news, promotions, engineering, production, and programming. We'll keep your application for consideration when such an opening occurs. We also provide internships for qualified students. Apply online at News Radio 92.3 or at our studios at 7251 Plantation Road between 8:30 a.m. and 5:30 p.m. ADX Communications is an equal opportunity employer.
Guy Benson, keeping you informed of the news every day at 2, right after Mark Lee Van Camp and Robbins on News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable.
Be brave, little piglet.
It's awfully hard to be brave when you're such a small animal.
I can't tell you exactly why when I was a kid I loved this song so much. This song about adultery. But I just always thought it was a great song. You know, sometimes you know when you're a kid and you're laughing at the Flintstones jokes and you don't really understand what the jokes are about. And then you get a little bit older and like, oh, the Flintstones, that's just the Honeymooners in a cartoon form. And those jokes aren't what I thought they were about. By the way, do you remember the days when, like, the kids' cartoons would have jokes for the adults in them that the kids wouldn't catch? The good old days. All right, 6:58 on News Radio 92.3. David Wayne is in the newsroom with our headlines. David?
Well, good morning. The White House says there are no plans to replace Defense Secretary Pete Hegseth, a White House X account posting, quote, wrong fake news in response to an NPR story saying the White House was in the process of looking for a new leader for the Pentagon. Hegseth, of course, has come under fire after reports that he shared detailed military plans in two different chats on the Signal app.
You know, the fake news response would be more persuasive if it weren't the response to every single story that comes
right,
out.
Right, yeah.
You know, if you sort of were a little judicious about when you claim something is fake news and then you were right that it was fake news as opposed to then having to say, oh, well, you know,
every other tweet.
Yeah, right.
Israel's security cabinet is expected to meet today to discuss ongoing nuclear talks between the U.S. and Iran.
The Times of Israel reports that the meeting will take place late Tuesday and comes after two sets of talks in as many weeks between the U.S. and Iranian officials. The White House is working to assess whether Iran's nuclear program is being used for military purposes.
And that's correspondent Trent Murray. There have been reports that Israel's been pushing for airstrikes on Iran's nuclear facilities. Federal authorities now looking into a theft involving Homeland Security Secretary Kristi Noem. That happened while she was out to dinner with her family. Apparently, a suspect wearing an N95 mask snatched her purse. Among the items reportedly in that purse were several thousand in cash, her Department of Homeland Security ID and access card, credit cards, passport, and driver's license.
But not a gun?
Apparently not.
Kristi Noem doesn't carry a gun in her purse? I mean, that's the part that I thought was a little unusual. Also, that the Homeland Security Secretary gets a purse snatch is weird. Local.